Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 5, Text 106. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Henry, can you just check if you can hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Okay. Sayasanatana lapa sridastana sanadishu vartamana api svanye krishna premna smarantina. While eating, sleeping, sitting, walking, speaking, bathing, enjoying diversions, Vyatas are so absorbed in pure love for Krishna that they even forget their own family and possessions. Commentary, love for Krishna is a deep ocean in which his pure devotees dive to their heart's content. Thus fully immersed in Krishna consciousness, the Yadus were oblivious of their material assets. Were oblivious of their material assets, including their families and their own bodies. All the riches in this world cannot divert their attention. This statement by Narada parallels Sukadeva's words at the end of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, 10:90:46. Quote, the Vishnis were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, eating, and so on, they forgot their own bodies. Thus Krishna once told his wife Satya, quote, dear willful goddess, every one of these Yadavas is my eternal associates. They're always very dear to me, and their virtue is equal to my own. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vairagya Yud Bhakti Risham Piyatnai Apayama Manabipsamandam Kripambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhamatriyami Vancha Kaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaibhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Washington, D.C. I'm the guest of one of our regular Sangha listeners, Henry. Very nice. Actually, every day when I'm here, it's near this National Cathedral, which as far as in my own vision must be one of the most beautiful churches in the world, most it took hundreds of years to build. And I take a walk there every day. So usually if I go out in the public, you know, in a city or something, my clothes, I like them to at least be pressed or somehow not wrinkled, but all I had is kind of a little bit of wrinkled set. So I was thinking before I went out, maybe I'll just put on these pair of pants or not. But then I thought, no, you know, I'm a monk. I should wear my robes. So I took a walk. It's a very nice walk. You walk through this beautiful forest. Actually, you're in the middle of the city. You walk in this beautiful forest with stone paths. And then you go up, and then there's the cathedral. You walk on the way down, this man came from under a bridge. And he looked at me, and it was kind of like a solitary place. And he pointed to his head that he's crazy. And then he pointed to me, not that I'm crazy, but he pointed to me, you know, help me. You know, help me. You know, I think it was a South American man. So it's actually, you know, so I saw he identified me. He wouldn't have known, you know, that I was a monk. And then, you know, he was by the church. I just said, you know, how can I help you? You know, just, I said, do you get, you know, he was entered in so much anxiety. He had broken English, losing his mind, you know. And, I just said, I don't know, just some general things. You know, how can I help you? You know, you know, what do you really, young people? I'm a Catholic or whatever. And I said, well, you know, worship God and depend on God. If you need, try to get some help. You know, I didn't know, what can I do in that? And he kept on communicating to me. And he said, no, you help me. You help me. And I was, so how can I help you? And he said, Hare Krishna. You know, so I just sat with him in the forest on the bench and I just chanted for a while. And then he thanked me. And I continued on my walk. So I don't know what lesson there I learned, but no, you always get realizations in the world. You know, just again, you know, helping others, being, representing myself for who I am. How contacting others in a mood of compassion moves you out of, it's important to move yourself out of the self-centeredness. I'll speak that this self-centeredness that I could get into, where my desire, my anxieties, my world becomes, you know, so prominent. And I think that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted his followers to extend themselves. So I really had that strong realization, and I felt bad, actually, that unless you go out and meet the people and see their suffering, your world and your desires can assume a unrealistic significance. So that was nice. So now we're in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We're continuing Narada's journey. And drops of water wear away the stone. So even though we're just going a few verses a day, you know, we've proceeding nicely. And of course, if anybody's new, I don't have to, most people of following, but great Saint Narada is on a journey to find the topmost recipient of God's mercy, which means the person who has the most God. And how do you get the most of any person in a relationship? So it's the person who has most love for God and the most intimate love. And in this conception of divinity, God being a person, the revelation of God comes in relationship. So you can have a perfect relationship with God as his trusted servant, but that relationship, by definition, is impeded by a full revelation of God. because the full revelation of God is his intimate nature, his friendship, his love, his aspect as a child. The relationship of servant requires a certain distance and formality. Anyway, we're following on this path, and it's an incredible journey as Narada is meeting higher and higher devotees. They're all perfect, but those who have more and more intimate relationships. And then there's this very subtle distinction between the Pandavas, who were the last devotees that Narada was meeting and glorifying, and the Yadavas, who he is pointed to. It's hard to make that distinction. We discussed that a little bit, that somehow or other in Dwarka, where Narada is, there's a more familial and intimate relationships exist there. So now we're seeing these Yadus, and as the story proceeds, we get to see the manifestation of great devotion through the eyes of Narada, who's a great devotee. And seeing devotion is meant to inspire us in devotion, and that's why we read these Bhakti Shastris. I was reading in the Bhakti Sandarbha how there's two types of reading. One is for knowledge, that you can understand the truth. And when you actually are really fixed in Siddhanta or philosophical conclusion, then you have a different perspective. You read it for relish. You read it because you're surrendered completely to God, and you have a full desire to love God. You're just relishing how the loving exchanges are manifest within the book. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is specifically rich and laden with a description of those relationships. And by hearing them, our own aspiration to be lovers of God should be increased. At the same time, we get the tattva or the philosophy mixed in. But it's a very rasika scripture. Rasika means laden with love and loving exchanges that can inspire us. So these yadus are described, and their incredible opulence is described. But it's also described that although they were royalty, they accepted these trappings because they were suitable for their service for Krishna. A king needs to inspire as much as possible reverence. And common people respect opulence and develop its mood of servitorship, a desire to serve towards opulence. And it's so interesting, you know, you may, oh my God, that's not me, I don't need that. But how many people have become fans of rock stars or athletes or politicians? You know, I mean, it even in England, what I'm saying is even in England, it's a democracy. People are still enamored with the king and the Prince Harry or Prince and the other prince there, and they're enamored. They're enamored with their beauty. They're enamored with their opulence. And therefore the king, he wears the jewels, the crowns, and it's part of the service. It's part of the service to make his administration easier by inspiring the people to cooperate rather than having to force them to do so. And it's also a service for Krishna because one service for Krishna is being one of the beautiful, opulent people in his entourage. That's, there's even a liberation where you can get the sarupya mukti, where you can get the form of Krishna. I just got a call that maybe there's... Are people able to hear me? People can hear me? Okay, I get the thumbs up here that people can hear me, but I just got a call from Mahamuni. Mahamuni, are you there?
Yes.
Mooney, is it okay?
For me, it's very clear, Maharaj.
Mahamuni just called me on the cell phone.
But you're coming in crystal for me.
Okay. And Henry says crystal. Okay, I'm continuing. It's so good to be in a place where there's good cell phone reception. You know? I mean, you know. Okay. Okay. So, Mooney, if there's any problem with communication, it's your phone. Okay. But although they had so much material power, all they wanted is to see Krishna. He was the only object of their worship. They weren't in, usually you accrue power to make people serve you. They accrue power to make people serve Krishna. And he was their only object of worship. So it's great to see that. It's great to see someone who has the accoutrements of power and the ability to enjoy be detached. I remember when maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I was inviting Narayan Maharaj to come to the ISKCON temple to speak at Prabhupada's disappearance day. That was my job, to invite all the senior people. And I remember he was saying one of the things he remembers about Prabhupada is that when Prabhupada left household life, when Prabhupada left household life, he was quite poor because he left everything. And Prabhupada was staying in the Keshavji Gaudiya Math, where Narayan Maharaj was in charge of that temple, and Prabhupada was living there for a while. And Narayan Maharaj would go to his room because Prabhupada was senior, and to sit with him. And he remembers Prabhupada's quilt had holes in it, and he'd have to take off his uttariya, that's the top piece, and put it on there to sit down. So he said, although Prabhupada was poor, he said Prabhupada specifically liked to talk about the Pandavas. That although they were the kings of the world, they were a Kinchana Gotra. They had no desire for anything else but to serve Krishna. That's what a devotee means. That is our challenge. And that's what will make our heart satisfied. Because this egotism blocks love. Because egotism is antithetical to love, because it means you see others as objects for your pleasure rather than seeing yourself as an object for other pleasure, what to speak of Krishna. So usually wealth moves you in the center, power moves you in the center, and it blocks you from love and devotion. But the Pandavas, they weren't like that. And therefore, the symptom of their love, this is the Yadavas, is they had no inclination to talk or think about anything not involving Krishna. That's another symptom of devotion. I hear someone. I got to mute the phone again. 1 second. Okay. So they had no inclination to talk or think about anything not involving Krishna at all. That's the symptom of devotion. The main symptom of devotion is you talk and hear about those you love. That's how you can see if someone has attachment to anyone else. They'll talk about those people. And we talk about Guru, we talk about Krishna, if we have devotion and attachment for them. And they didn't talk about anything else. And Narada, therefore, wanted their blessings so he can glorify them, because that's the person who becomes Guru. What is Guru? Guru is servant of Guru. Guru is servant of Krishna. And that's what makes someone great. What makes someone great is love, their desire to serve. So when one is actually servant of Krishna, then he becomes worthy of worship. And therefore, Narada is explaining that because of the intimacy of their love, they're more favored than even those in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. They make the earth fortunate. They make Krishna forget Vaikuntha. And one who has that devotion, they lose desire for any wealth. They lose desire for liberation because they want to be with Krishna. They don't. Nidanam, Najanam, Nisundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadisha, Kamaye, Mama Janmani, Jamaneshwari, Bhavatad Bhakta. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers, women. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praying. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. Not even liberation. You just want Krishna. And their meditation is more strongly focused than even the yogis in samadhi. Because yoga means to focus. So you generally focus on something. And by focusing on something, you quell the rest of the mind except the part that you're focused. We're only focusing on one thing. So all the vrittis of the mind become stilled. But in devotional service, you have an attraction to the object of your meditation. So you can become very easily absorbed. And when that attraction goes to prema, it's the highest samadhi because prema means there's nothing else in the consciousness than the object of your worship, which is Krishna. So now we're seeing Narada continue. He, in this verse, just see how utterly amazing, infinitely wonderful ways in which the Supreme Lord submits. Wait, that's not the verse I was talking to. While eating, sleeping, sitting, they're so absorbed, they forget everything. So this is devotion. When you have an object of devotion, the more you have devotion for that object, the more everything else becomes secondary. Even some prophet gave the example of a paramour, thinking, you know, she's always thinking of her lover, even if externally she may be doing her duties around the house. So this absorption, and that's the symptom of bhava. When the Lord's love descends on your consciousness, bhakti is a potency of the Lord. It's something which is inherently in your heart, and it's something that's energized or watered by the Lord's own potency. We are meant, what are we? We are receptacles of rasa or devotion, which is the Lord's pleasure, which he has to put in our hearts for him to enjoy. Because love has to come from another. We're meant to be that other. We're meant to be that other. And bhakti means to become, the process of bhakti, devotion, means to move in that direction. The opposite direction is this egotism, this selfishness, the intense material desires, everything, the passion, the ignorance. We have to become free from this to do our service. We have to clean out our hearts so Krishna can sit there and Krishna's love can sit there. And they became so absorbed and in all their activities, they're thinking of Krishna. And this is the wonder of this bhakti meditation. When you actually have that potency in your heart, then your love and your remembrance of Krishna is not dependent on the mind. It's not dependent on the body. Of course, the mind's been energized or spiritualized. The reason why we do yoga asanas is so we don't think of the body. Or the yogi doesn't think of the body when meditating. Because when the body is painful or stiff, the mind goes to the body. The mind can't focus. But when someone has this level of bhakti, it doesn't matter what the condition of the body or the mind is. Of course, we have to get to that platform, and therefore we have to take care of our mind and body. When you're at this level, it doesn't matter. You could be lying on a bed of arrows like Bhishma Dev. Hundreds of arrows right through your body, falling back and lying on those arrows in the ground. And you're meditating on Krishna. You can be Haridas Thakur, who's very, very sick at the end of his life. And his eyes are like bumblebees looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, looking at him. Or Prabhupada, I was there in the room at the end of his life, just hearing the holy name, transcendental to the body. I heard Prabhupada say this when he came to Vrindavan to leave the world. I went into his room and Prabhupada said, Dehaino smin yata dehe, komaran yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, diras tatvanamuyate. As the embodied soul passes from childhood to boyhood to youth, to old age, similarly at the time of death, one goes to another body, the self-realized soul is not bewildered, completely sober. Their meditations and thoughts of Krishna are an energy that's in their heart. I was just reading, we're doing this kirtan book, and I'm getting to see some of the interviews. So last interview Kinchana Krishna sent me is Ananta Govinda, and he was describing the mood of a kirtanier. Even his musical abilities, he doesn't feel it's his intelligence or his talent. He feels his mouth is like a funnel for Krishna's mercy to come through. This is what a devotee actually experiences in love. It's not a mechanism. It's not his effort. It's the mercy of God that's coming through him. And Narada wants to associate with these people, and we want to associate with these people. Because they have a flow of love, and when you're in their association, you feel that. You feel that deeply. It's something that can't be bluffed. It just flows. And that's the association you want. Text 107, Maharaja Virajayam Ugrasena Mahadbhuta Mahabhagya Mahima Babata Kena Varnyatam. O Ugrasena, King of Exalted Kings, who can describe the extent of your astonishing great fortune? So Bhagya Maha, great fortune. Maha, great. Maha Abhuta. Most astonishing. That kind of fortune. The special favor of Krishna. Many other kings, including Yudhisthira, subordinate to Maharaj Ugrasena. The special favor Krishna has shown him is visible to all, but cannot be adequately described. The special fortune cannot be adequately described because it's very subtle. It's God's love. And it's hard to gauge sometimes. There are symptoms of it, but what someone is actually feeling deeply in that intimate relationship with Krishna. we tend to judge things by our own frame of reference. If we're struggling chanting, we somehow think that everyone is struggling chanting. But we don't realize that, that to some people, the holy name flows. Aho mahaschayataram chatmakara barakaram pashapriya janapriti paravasyam mahahare. Oh, just see the utterly amazing, infinitely wonderful ways in which the Supreme Lord submits to the love of his dear devotees, vasyam, paravasyam, priyajana, priti, to the love of those who are dear to him. Pashya, just see the subservience, mahahare, of the Supreme Lord. Maha Aschaya, most completely amazing, Chatmakar, wonderment of Buddha, the infinite ways in which the Lord is the servant of his devotees. How wonderful it is that all this, the Krishna is the chariot driver of Arjuna. Out of love, so many ways he's submitting and serving his devotees. And we've discussed this point so many times, but it's such a beautiful aspect of this theology that the opulence of God is his love. And love means to want to please. I mean, you want to please someone, you want to please what they want. And therefore, love means to submit to the needs and desires of the object of your beloved. So Krishna, it's so wonderful. He is Bhaktivatsala. He is serving his devotees. And we know in the Mahabharata, he's the chariot driver of Arjuna. How wonderful it is. In fact, we know that story of the South Indian Brahmin, who somehow was either illiterate or he couldn't pronounce properly the Sanskrit. One of the first things Prabhupada wanted in the Gurukul in Dallas is he wanted them, the students at least, to pronounce the Sanskrit properly. He even had some Indian man come there. Maybe he could teach somehow to pronounce properly. So anyway, he couldn't read, but he was crying and crying and crying. And Lord Chaitanya came out, he's the Supreme Lord, and says, why are you crying? And all he was doing is looking on the picture on the cover that was so utterly amazing and saying that although Krishna is the Supreme Lord, out of love for Arjuna, he's become his charioteer driver. He's become his servant. Commentary, Krishna's mercy is the akara, or birthplace, of everything wondrously appreciable. His selfless concern for his devotees is always astonishing, especially when he willingly submits to his control. Wonderful ways that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but when he steals the butter and when his mother wants to punish him by tying him, and she's trying to tie him out of love just to give him some discipline, and then finally, even though she brings all the rope in Nanda Maharaj's kingdom, and each rope somehow becomes 2 inches short, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes what are those 2 inches. 1 inch is the effort, and the other inch is the Lord's mercy. Both are required. Our effort in devotional service is we don't feel by our effort alone we can achieve the Lord, but our effort is an expression of our love and desire and dependence on God, which can attract God's mercy. So that's what happened. So wonderful, astonishing. It's wonderful. Supreme Lord, bound by the ropes of his mother's love, serving his friend on the chariot, when Yudhisthira goes in procession as the king and the subjects are following him, going swaha, swaha, swasti, swasti, and they're throwing the rice grains to either side. Krishna's in the procession. So Narada is relishing the personality of Godhead, his ability to love and serve in a variety of ways. O King of Yadus, as you sit on your great throne, that same Hari stands before you like a servant and addresses you with reverence. He says, my Lord, please consider, please order me your servant. So Narada is appreciating that out of love. Krishna, because Ugrasena is the emperor, Krishna has taken the role of the servant. And as a servant, Vrityam, one of the expressions of love of a true servant is a true servant folds his hands. When you fold your hands together in front of you, it's a mudra that means that these hands that have been used to assist me in accruing the objects of my desires are now to be in the service of you for accruing the objects of your desire. And therefore, when one folds his hands before a master, before a superior, he is, it's an expression of the deep heartfelt, it's a heartfelt expression of I want to serve you. And it's a great source, even though it's not done for that person, it's a great source of love for the servant. To pay obeisances to someone superior, that's a great source of love for the that's an expression of love that enhances the love. To fold the hands, so it's so amazing. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of love for his devotees, in the kingdom of Ugrasena, just folding his hands and legitimately expressing that these hands, they're for you, and you give me an order. And that order is a great sense of joy. We should all seek and want an order from someone that we revere and respect. Commentary, the word Vritya means servant. In two sentences, quote, order carrier, and quote, maintain dependent. Krishna played both roles in relationship to his great grandfather, Ugrasena. So the first he says, since I am present in your entourage as your personal attendant, all the demigods and other exalted personalities will come with heads bowed to offer you tribute. What then to speak of the rulers of men? So he's saying, this is all love. So love and servitude, the mood of that love, because each love has a particular flavor, the mood of that love is, you are my maintainer. So that's one mood. You are my maintainer. And it can be extended, that mood that I am you are my maintainer, to what do you want? A gopi is called king kari. King, what kari do? By the way, Kari, do, King. Anyway, what you want, I will do. So Krishna used to stand before King Igrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and sit explanations to him, saying, "O Lord, please let it to be known to you, does it not pain us, Krishna's? O Lord, please let it be known to you, does it not pain us, Krishna's service, when we remember this?" I'm not sure what that means. Narada concludes that all of the Vaishnavas visit so far, Ugrasena is the greatest. Narada offers homage to him and to everyone who has relationship with him. Now, Parikshit will speak. Of course, you know that this is originally being spoken, this dialogue by Maharaj Prickett, to his mother, Uttara. So now he describes the Prakshita Vacha, Tato Pamanya Devanu Vartino Yadavo Kila Sapara Gahanam Natva Matya Ucha Mahamunim. Sri Prakshita said, "The Yadavas were all faithful followers of the Supreme Lord, the Lord who favors the Brahmanas. Dear mother, those Yadavas then bowed down together to the great sage, touched his feet, and spoke to him as follows." So this is going to be a common theme, that after hearing their glorification, the Yadavas resist that glorification because their desire is not to be great in a material sense. They're intelligent enough to understand, not only intelligent enough to understand, but they have the bhav or the mood or devotion that they understand very clearly and have no desire for it, that if you take a position of worship and glorification, independent of service to the divine, it will hinder your devotion. That's what hinders our devotion. Our desire for puja, worship, pratishtha, and distinction. And it's the core material conceptions. And a devotee means, when he's a real devotee, he doesn't want that. Because his only object of worship is Krishna, or God. So they consciously they consciously deflect that type of criticism. It's just not, again, when their heads are bowed and when they're in the mood of servant, then they're feeling love and they're feeling devotion. And devotion is pleasure. So they're very happy in that position. And when they hear all this glorification about how exalted they are, they are afraid, or if they accept it, it will counteract their mood of devotion. The fortune Yadavas said, "Even our Supreme Master Sri Krishna worships you. Why then, O venerable sage, are you acting like a lowly person by offering respects to us, the most lowly? You can defeat the wit of Ibn Brahma, the master of speech. And so by the power of our Lord Yadavendra, what you have said to us cannot be untrue. So the purport describes it. They want to discount what Narada said, which they considered flattery and very, very exaggerated. Therefore, they called Narada the most expert, the Vakpati Napunya. Napunya means the expert of Vakpati, of one who, Pati means the master of Vak or words. So you're the master of words, and therefore what you said so eloquently but it is only by the mastery of your words that you're able to pull it off. It's not true. But on the other hand, they can accept that glorification because of Krishna's power. In other words, a devotee, like Ananta Govinda was saying in that class, he's not denying that there's something wonderful that may come out, but he doesn't take credit for it. He sees it as the glory of God. So a devotee can do something very, very wonderful. He gets, you know, he can give a speech and the words can flow from his mouth, or he can administrate something, or act, or so many ways in which you work, dress the deities in such a beautiful way. And so there's two ways, when someone glorifies you, there's two ways in which you can deflect that praise. You can say it's just not true, or you can say it's true but not me. So this is a devotee. He says both, yes. It's not true. It's just due to your vakpati napunya, by the expertise of your mastery of words. And then it could be true, because it's the power of our Lord. And if Krishna is, he can do wonderful things, even to me, who is so lowly and fallen. In fact, one verse in the Bhagavatam, beautiful verse, Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pulukasa, describing how all these type of people who are born in situations that are culturally disadvantaged can become such great devotees. And I forgot the rest of the verse, because of the power of God. So we don't have to deny our abilities, but we can understand, if we understand something about how this world works, those abilities are not ours. The abilities are God's. And therefore, our abilities can be given, our abilities can be taken away. So that's the proper way to someone can have tremendous talent, and instead of that talent increasing his pride, it can increase one's love and devotion for God. And he continues in that way. Tasya kanapi gandhena kimva kasya nasidyati mahadayakaro yoyam nirapadi surittama. If one has even a slight trace of a touch with Krishna, is there anything one cannot achieve? Krishna is a boundless reservoir of mercy and one's unconditional best friend. So now, the Yadavas are such wonderful devotees that they're transferring the praise that Narada has given to them to Krishna, who is the ability in all men. So is Krishna, they're saying, is so powerful. You have a touch with Krishna. Is there anything that one can achieve? And, you know, in my experience in devotional service, sometimes seeing great servants of Krishna, it's never a material quality alone. It just doesn't work that way. It's Krishna using their, it's like a knife is sharp, but the knife doesn't get any credit. The credit goes to the sculptor. So the knife may be very, very sharp. That's a credit to the knife, but it's really the sculptor that's using the knife. So we may have different, we may be an instrument in different ways with different abilities and different talents. One, that's not really us. That's the energy of God. And the utility or use of that energy is also God. God has two material, what is it, upadan karan and nimitya karan. He has material and spiritual cause. Material cause is the ingredients, like you're making a pot, the pottery needs clay, and the nimitta karana, the efficient cause, is the potter. So it's like that with our qualities. We may have some quality, some ability, and we may, that's coming from God, because we may be great singers, we may lose our voice, or karmically we may lose that talent in our next life. We may offend someone, and use our speech in the wrong way, in our next life then that speech is denied. So the ingredient of our qualities, that's God, and then the utilization of them. Even if you have great qualities, sometimes you sing, sometimes you don't, sometimes your throat gets choked up with something. So it's a devotee is so nice. He's being glorified, but he's saying it's the touch of Krishna. I remember that story with Hayagriva, and as you know, he was one of the first devotees that Prabhupada met in America. And he was an English professor, and he met Prabhupada on the street, and he was tall southerner from Alabama, a professor now, had a long beard, looked like a Punjabi. He startled because he had just gone to India on the same steamship company that Prabhupada came to America with, and he saw this Swami on the Lower East Side, and he said, "Are you from India?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." And Prabhupada said, "Are you from India?" He thought he was a Punjabi. But what a dynamic, meeting Prabhupada on the street, meeting Prabhupada on the street. And then later, because he was such a nice writer, when Satyaraj went to visit him, he was in New Vrindavan, and he had cancer, and his spine was like eggshells. It was so painful. And he was lying on his back, and Satyaraj came to see him. And he looked at Satyaraj with tears in his eyes and said, "A 70-year-old Bengali gentleman," that Prabhupada referring to himself, "was coming to America to publish books in English." And Hayagriva said, "And who is the first person he meets on the street of New York? An English professor." And then, of course, Hayagriva was engaged in that service of editing. And then Hayagriva looked up to Satyaraj, reflecting on that divine arrangement that Prabhupada, who wanted to publish books in English, met him, an English professor. And he folded his hands and he looked up to Satyaraj and said, "I was touched by the hand of God." So you may have abilities, but how will they be used? And what is the force that's using them? So, a devotee, a spiritual person with so many, so many talents, can see himself as an instrument. Commentary: true compassion originates in Krishna, or in other words, only Krishna's pure devotees can be truly compassionate. The special quality in true compassion is that it's unconditional. So this is also the devotee feels that, now, I've gotten the mercy, but why was it given to me? Was I deserving of this mercy? Mercy means nidapati, unconditional. So he's also reflecting, and this is a great source of devotion, and we can reflect. You can reflect on mercy that's come. It's certainly mercy even to be a spiritualist, a transcendentalist, to have transcendental knowledge. And if you look around, do you really feel that you've gotten that because you're so much so qualified? So, mercy. Krishna, the devotees who convey mercy on his behalf, never expect any reciprocal favors. So it's also unconditional because it's given just to help us, not to get anything in return. They freely distribute mercy to anyone who will take it. That is the meaning of the word nirupati and ahoitaki, often seen in descriptions of Krishna's mercy. Anybody like to ask any questions? Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hello, yeah. Gail. any questions?
First off, I really appreciated that explanation or instruction, whatever, that, you know, the distinction between the person's abilities and you know, the user of those abilities, you know. Anyway, that point was really appreciated. Because it's not just, you know, having the talent is mercy, but, you know, it can be, it can be dormant or not used in the right way. So the way it's used is also mercy. So anyway, I appreciated that distinction.
I'll just say one more thing about that, and then you can ask your question, is when you see a talented devotee, but when you see how fully energized they can become in Krishna's service when they're actually in a mood of service and in a mood of humility, is quite astounding. I don't want to mention one particular person over another, but it is astounding, actually. And that energy itself, because it's Krishna's mercy, is very inspiring. Go ahead. Now the question, Gail.
Yeah, is when you had said earlier that the devotee, the pure devotee, he wants that order from his beloved.
Yeah.
I just wish that it could have been put in a different way because of the negative connotations that the word order tends to carry, you know? You know, it's like blocking my full, assimilation of this particular point, you know? Because order is normally associated with something that comes from somebody else who does not necessarily have your best interest.
Uh-huh. Let me explain it in one sense, right?
Yeah.
For most people, I can't say who, but if Prabhupada had so much love and faith in one, right, and, said, you know, such and such, you know, I would like you to go, you know, you go to, you know, you go to this place and you preach, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, let's say it's a function and the Prabhupada said, I want you to do this service. If you really had reverence from Prabhupada, you would consider that a tremendous expression of love. So obviously words are interpreted by our own experiences and frame of reference, and Americans don't, you know, New York, America, you know, it's kind of egalitarian in a way that type of love is often not appreciated. But if there actually is love and deep devotion and so much respect for a great personality, you know, even in the modern way, let's say someone was like, you know, a complete Democrat, you know, and then Obama gets in the White House. And let's say there's a big function, even if Obama said, please stand by the door and make sure no one comes in, you know, or whatever it is. The person would consider it a great honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, if we had a Prabhupada actually ordered us to do something, because it also indicates that he feels that you have faith, and faith is love. So it's also an acknowledgement of your love. Order is also an acknowledgement of your love and your faith. So maybe, you know, someone would not then. You know, say, they'll take it, you know, their ego will be bruised. But what kind of love then does that person have? You know? Even I remember the night that Prabhupada left the world. That evening, I walked by Prabhupada's house and Tamal Krishnamurti. He didn't order me. He asked me, can you clean Prabhupada's house tonight? So the night that Prabhupada left, I cleaned his house. You know? But if he ordered me at that time, I would consider it an honor. You know? Or, you know, it would show some trust. You know, clean Prabhupada's house. You know, wow, this is great. You know, but it depends on your relationship with the person.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we lack those relationships for many reasons. We're not qualified, and you know, authorities are not so qualified in these days. That's the tragedy that the sages of Namasharanya saw. That's the tragedy that they saw in Kali Yuga, because leaders would falter, people would lose faith. So that's the tragedy, actually, the faithlessness that is there. And therefore, we hanker for that days when leaders can be of such character and such devotion that they can tell us to do something and we'll accept it as an expression of their affection and love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to ask a question or say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, Anava.
Hi, Krishna Janava. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great. Wonderful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulal, I'm going to call you after this because we're too close not to see each other, okay?
Okay. Thank you,
I'll call you after this. Thank you. So nice. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear the different people that are on our Sangha, our community. Great. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello? Oh, Okay, there's more people out there, but I'm going to even, I have to go today. If anyone is in D.C. area that's listening, I have a program at 4 p.m. at a place called the Mindfulness Center. It's in Bethesda, Maryland, which I guess is a high-end area, but they said recommended contribution, $50. But I spoke to the lady and was in charge. She said that that's recommended. No one will be turned away. So anybody here who want to come, whatever you give will be appreciated. Okay. Thank you all. Vamsha Kalpa to Vyas Chakra Disindi Shampati Tanam Pagani Vyokishani.